Welcome to You Need Therapy, the Happy People podcast, or in more realistic terms, the mental health podcast for young adults, where we talk about everything mental health related, and we have the conversations that no one wants to have because they're uncomfortable. So welcome to the community. I'm so glad you're here, and let's hop right in. Before we get into this episode, please note that there will be discussions of abuse, sexual assault, and overall trauma. If that is a topic that you are not in the right mindset to listen to, please don't listen to this episode. I will not be offended, but I love you all so much, and let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Need Therapy. If you are new here, my name is Emily, and I'm here to hold your hand while we work through all things mental health together. And if you're not new here, thank you so much for continuing to come back and be a part of this family. I love each and every one of you so much. And I love doing this. This is literally one of my favorite things. And I think it's because I really like talking. But you know, we move on. If you're new here, we start each episode with what I like to call my life breakdown, and we didn't get one in the last episode because I had a guest on. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, I got to interview actually a friend of mine. Her name is Kaylee, and we talked about everything health and wellness and kind of the fitness community and some of the lies and the toxic parts of that and some things that you may need to know that you didn't on your health journey and everything. So we talked about a lot and it was incredible and I loved it and I had so much fun. She's an absolute little ray of sunshine. She is the color yellow if it were a person. And yeah, so you should go listen to that episode. But we do get a life breakdown this week because I have no guests, but I have a guest next week, you guys, that I'm really excited with. I'm really excited for. I chatted with her last night actually on the phone to kind of schedule and give her the rundown of everything. And she's in New Zealand, guys. She's in New Zealand, which is so cool. Her accent, we got on the phone and I was like, whoa, you sound really cool. But it turns out we have so much in common and I'm really excited to get to talk to her next week. So look out for that episode. But we just have a solo episode this week, which I don't know if you guys like more, if you like guests more, who knows. Anyway, so we're going to do a life breakdown. And again, if you're new here, that's where I just kind of loop you guys in on what's been going on since we last talked, what's been going on in my life, all the juicy details of my life, which is not very juicy because I'm not that interesting. But, you know, we can pretend to be interesting. Okay. And as always, if you want to share your life breakdown with me, or you just want to say, hey, you want a new friend, you want to be besties, if you need some advice, if you just need a shoulder to cry on, if you need someone to listen, my DMs are always open. I link both my personal Instagram and the Instagram for the podcast in the description of each episode. And it's also in the description of the podcast. So please feel free to message me on either one of those. I do my best to answer. I mean, I always answer. Sometimes it's just slow because I'm not hopping on Instagram as often as I am anymore. But I will always answer. It just may take me 2 to 3 business days. Feel free to message me on those and we can have a little chit chat or we can send each other funny memes. Either works for me. Okay. So let's get into the life breakdown. Okay. So I don't know if I want to share this first bit of information because I feel like it could be a little risky to share. So there may or may not be a boy in the picture. I know. Gasp. Shock. That's all I'm gonna say because that's all. But he's pretty cool. I like him. He knows about the podcast. But I don't know if he listens to it. He follows the Instagram, but I don't know if he listens to it. So that's all I'm going to say. And if he does listen to it, he's going to end up texting me about it later. But I don't know. So that's all I'm going to say. I like him. He's pretty cool. His cat's really cute. Her name's Eliza. And I like her more than I like him, if I'm being completely honest. But anyway, so just gonna leave that there. Let's see how we feel about that. I'll update you in a few weeks. If he's ghosted me, you'll know. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated. So anyway, next update, which is not, these two do not go together at all. I bought my first vibrator, you guys, and I am so excited about it. And I bought it at a CVS, and I got some really weird looks. Oh, also, if you did not know, CVS does, in fact, sell vibrators. I think Walgreens does, too. And if you're not in the U.S., I don't know if they have those drugstores out of the U.S., but maybe look at your drugstore. But it was just a lot cheaper than ones I've tried to, like, look on online. Anyway, but yeah, we love that because self-care. Am I right? Am I right? I'm so right. Anyway, so that was fun. I told you about the new guest coming on. I got two new tattoos. I got one on my thigh and I got one on my sternum. None of my tattoos have hurt, okay? But these two, Jesus Christ. I played it cool, okay? You could not tell if you were just looking at my face. But my mom came with me and I was holding her hand and I was squeezing the crap out of her hand, okay? I don't think she could feel it afterwards. But I was like, and she kept like whispering in my ear. She was like, breathe, Emily. You're holding your breath. And I was like, I know. I don't think I can breathe. But yeah, so that was fun. But I love them. They're amazing. And I literally just got them like 2 weeks ago. And I already need more. It's so addictive. If you have tattoos, you know what I mean. That once you get one, you have to just get so many more. And I saw TikTok is evil because I saw two designs on there. On this one person posted a video and they were like, different tattoo designs that I've drawn up and you need to get right now. And I went through it and there was two that I really, really liked and I really want. And I'm like, shit, now I need more. But they're so expensive and I don't have the money for that. I'm trying to save my money. Oh my gosh. Anyway, moving on. I have eight. I don't need any more right now. Okay. That's what we're gonna tell myself. But if anyone would like to Venmo me $1 to go towards the tattoos, thank you. Anyway. Moving on, kind of related because one of the tattoos I did get does have to do with a book. Welcome back to Emily's Book Club. I feel like we haven't done this in a while. I am on the third book of the A Court of Thorns and Roses series. And oh my gosh, those books, I don't know what kind of crack Miss Sarah puts in them. But, oh my gosh, they're so good. You guys. I'm obsessed. So the thigh tattoo that I got is actually, it is like related to the second book in the series because that is my favorite. And, oh my gosh, you guys, the series is so good. And the drama, oh my God, I love it. And the romance, stunning. So if you haven't read A Court of Thorns and Roses, go hop on to the Google, find it at your nearest bookstore, and get that bad boy ordered, okay? Because it's so good. The series, so good. 10 out of 10. The second book, A Court of Mist and Fury, is the best. So go get into that. And if you're not into reading, I can almost guarantee you this series will get you into reading. Because I was kind of in a reading slump and like my brain didn't have the capacity to read anything new. And then I was put on this series by my friend Katie, shout out to Katie. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'm not in a reading slump anymore. So I would do that. If you feel that you're in a slump and you haven't been able to read or find anything that interests you, get on the series right now. Court of Thorns and Roses. Go. Yes. Okay, that's it for Emily's book club. We're almost done with the life breakdown, I promise. I just have a lot to share because we haven't shared in a couple weeks. I am so violently hyper fixated on Avatar right now. And yes, I do mean the one with the blue people, with the 10-foot tall blue aliens. I do love Avatar The Last Airbender. I really do. I promise you. But right now I'm hyperfixated on those goddamn 10-foot tall people. It's bad, okay? Why did they give them such slutty little waists? Like, for what? For what? Anyway, I've watched the first movie like an ungodly amount of times. And don't yell at me, but I prefer the first movie still over the second movie, just because I'm a sucker for romance, and we got more of Jake and Neytiri's romance in the first one. That's all I have to say. And is it because I'm lonely and touch deprived, so I live vicariously through them? Yes, it is. But, you know, we vibe. I like the first one better. And I also just think it's crazy because that was like such a groundbreaking movie for when it came out in early 2000s, or was it late? It was like 2008, 2009. The fucking technology, like, that was really, it's insane. It's insane. I could, the little movie, film, and TV nerd in me could go on and on, but I won't unless you want me to, and then message me and we can have a chit chat. Yeah, I'm starting on a new project in February. I'm very excited for that. They've already started it, but they haven't needed me yet. But I start, I think, next week or the week after, so I'm very excited. I get to play Pathological Liar, which is my favorite. We love that. That's all I'm going to say about it. And yeah, and the last thing I think that I'll share before we get into the episode is that I have finally, I don't know if it's just like winter, if it's this time of the year, if it's what it is, but I just have been feeling so unmotivated in like my career, in the podcast, in friendships, and just like taking care of myself. I've been feeling so unmotivated, but I finally, I don't know what like kicked into place this week, but I finally feel so like motivated and excited about life again. So like, shout out to my girl, Miss Prozac, first of all. Shout out to the sun finally shining for more than one day a week. Yeah, we got this. I've been doing Pilates, guys, and I never thought I'd be like a Pilates girly, okay? No. But guys, I actually really like it, and it's really hard, but I love it. I've been waking up early and doing some Pilates, and then I take my dog on a silly little walk, and it's like, it's so stunning. So stunning. Oh, stunning. Anyway, moving on. Okay. That's all I had to share. So that's it for the life breakdown. So we're going to go on and get on into the episode. So let's do it right now. Okay. So you guys. I was doing some little research into the episodes that I've done since the very beginning of starting this, which was a while ago. Okay, 3 years. 3 years ago, which just baffles me in ways that I cannot even explain. But I was like, I wonder what my most listened to episode is. Like, what really, you know, hit it off with everyone and drew everyone in. And it was my dating after trauma and abuse episode, which, hey, I'm so sorry to anyone who has ever experienced anything like that. But B, I'm glad that that was able to reach as many people as it did. So I was looking at that and I was like, well, A, that came out in January of 2021. Okay. So that was done a while ago. I'm pretty sure I was still living in Colorado when I recorded that. So I wanted to do an updated episode of that, essentially. Because I'm older now, I, you know, have a few more tools under my belt. We have a bunch of new listeners, and everything like that. So I was like, let's do a refresh, of that, since it was such a popular episode, and let's just see what new things we've learned, what new things I can share, what new things you guys can share with me, etc., etc. So we're gonna get into that, and hopefully you guys like it. So yeah. So I am obviously not an expert in this because I don't really date. Not usually, because I've done a whole other episode on this, but like dating with anxiety is actually horrendous. Because I usually I'll start talking to people and then I'll be great over text and maybe even over the phone. And then they're like, oh my gosh, let's go out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'd rather actually die. I hate going on dates. I really do. I usually if it's a week before, I'll feel confident about it. I'm like, yeah, good. And then we get a few days before and I'm like, oh, I'm not excited. Then we get the day of and I feel like I'm going to throw up and or pass out. And I'll usually end up coming up with some excuse to cancel. That's what I always do. And it's not out of I don't like the person or I'm not interested anymore. It's purely out of I get so anxious and I can't do it. Which being on Prozac has helped that a lot. But I will say that's something that I don't do well because I think I'm so scared of awkward silences and I'm so scared of the person not liking me and then it being a horrible, however long or whatever. So I don't date. So I'm not an expert on this, obviously, but I have gone on dates and I have had my fair share of situationships. And I have my trauma. So, that is fun. So I'm just going to kind of share the things I picked up, the things that I've talked about with my therapist, the things that other people have shared with me on their experiences with trauma and dating, things that I've noticed from other people, trying to date them, but they don't, they're not maybe emotionally ready. All the things. And yeah, we're just gonna try to at least make a point of some sort through my silly little thoughts that are actually never cohesive. But it's fine. It's fine. So the first thing I think that's really important is to obviously evaluate if you are truly ready and far enough along into your own healing process to begin dating. Because I think, and one thing I keep seeing on TikTok, and I don't know what kind of sad boy hours TikTok videos I'm getting into, but it's talking about they get into a relationship with someone that's never been treated right before, and they're so excited to show them how they should be treated and how to love them properly, essentially, and then they end up getting incredibly hurt in the end. And as I scroll through the comments of that, of those types of videos, it's always hurt people who haven't healed themselves hurt people, or just the hurt people hurt people. And I think that is true to a point, because I do think that you need to start your own healing process before you open yourself up to somebody else, because two of the biggest components of healthy relationships are trust and communication. And so if those are things that, due to your own past trauma or relationships or whatever, if those are things that you now just really struggle with, then that's going to be really hard to have a relationship then. So for me, I think a good example is that I was in one of the very few actual relationships that I have had. I was cheated on. So now that's something that's stressful and something that I have to in my brain go, oh, not every person is that person. And be cautious, but don't be paranoid. I think there's a fine line, because I think there's always going to be especially starting out in relationships, there's going to be like, you should be a little cautious. You should be protecting your feelings early on. Especially if you are someone who has attachment issues and you get attached really fast. This is me. I am talking about myself. I also may be talking about you, but I personally do this. And if I really click with a person, I'm going to get attached really fast. That's just my attachment and other issues. But if you're someone like that, let's simmer down. Okay, you guys, let's take a step back. You're not in love with this person after a day. I promise. But I think that I don't really know where I was going with that thought. I had a thought and I lost it. I saw a bird in my front yard and I got distracted. I'm sorry. It's so little and cute though. Oh my gosh. Oh. Okay, focusing. So trusting communication. So you have not healed yourself enough to where you're not going to be able to give and receive those two things. It's not going to go well, okay? It's going to go downhill real quick. Because I feel like in relationship, you start off and you're like in that kind of honeymoon phase and in spending all your time together. But I think once you kind of get more comfortable with each other, there's obviously, and especially as adults, when you're in relationships, is you get busy, you have jobs, you have school, you have a million other responsibilities. And there's just not enough time to be attached to one another all the time. And so then if you are someone who's going to get into that part of the relationship and start getting freaked out that they're ignoring you, they don't like you anymore, they, you know, are out with another person right now, et cetera, et cetera. That's not good. That is not good. Because while I do think you should be cautious, and if they are showing you behavior that could insinuate or lead to them cheating, and it's repeated behavior, and they are giving you reasons to suspect them of cheating or something, you know, I think then, yeah, maybe start questioning. But if it's just, oh, they haven't texted me back in a few hours. Oh, well, we haven't been able to hang out every day, every other day. I haven't seen them. And if, like, you get busy as adults, unfortunately, and you have to, I've noticed, like, getting into my adult life and working, and especially because I have all these different little jobs that I do, and, like, with my friends in college and everything, you have to literally schedule time just to, like, give them a phone call and catch up, okay? So, like, I get where it's coming from, especially if you have attachment issues. And I'm speaking from personal experience with this, of, like, not freaking out or of freaking out because they're not texting you and, you know, all those things. But it's okay. I promise you, it is okay. It is A-okay. So that's, like, I definitely, the first thing is gonna be healing yourself as much as you can. And I think there are parts of you that if they have been broken from a past relationship or past trauma or something like that, I don't think there's some parts of you that it will take a healthy relationship and someone actively showing you that not everyone is like that. I think it'll take some of that to fully heal you. So I think if you can, like, heal yourself, do all the parts of healing on your own that you can, and then, you know, you're like, oh yeah, okay, relationship, I feel ready for that now, and then go into it, and then I think a healthy relationship will then heal it. But I also think if you're not healed enough too, and you get into a relationship and it ends up not being that healthy relationship, if you're not healed enough and you're not strong enough and you're not, you know, stable enough on your own two feet, that's gonna break you a lot easier and send you back into a spiral, and you'll be at the start of your healing process again, which is fine, because healing and growth is not linear. You're jumping around all over the place, which is fine. So if that happens, that's okay. But I'm just like, you have to be cautious of that because you don't want to continue to completely shatter yourself over and over again. So focus on yourself first and foremost. Love yourself first. And because you don't want to put all of your love into somebody else, because then if they go away, your love goes with them and you're broken. Okay. So put your love into yourself first. And then when you feel like you love yourself, then share it with another person. Okay. But you gotta love yourself. Because if you don't like yourself single, you're not gonna like yourself into a relationship. It's kind of just gonna be putting a band-aid over it because you're like, well, someone else likes me, so I don't have to worry about liking me now. But then if they go away, you're like, holy shit, I'm awful, I'm the worst. This is it. Cause they went away. But if you love yourself and then someone goes away and you're like, hey, that's okay. You might be hurt, but you're like, at least I still love myself. Big slay. And okay, I like to say that I sound very educated on this, but this is also someone that cries after someone I was talking to for like 3 weeks ended up not being able to talk to me anymore because of their own stuff too. But I was like, haha, sobs. So attachment issues, like I said, anyway, not to out myself like that. I'm fine now. I'm good. I'm working on it. Anyway, so yeah, heal. Now, I think we're gonna get into a little bit of the, because I think we've been focusing, I say we as if there's multiple people here, me and my multiple personalities. No, it's just me, just kidding. I think I've been focusing on talking about like the going into relationships after you have trauma from past relationships. So if you got cheated on, if you were in a mentally or physically abusive relationship and there's going to be trust issues from that. Now I want to talk about if you have things like sexual assault trauma and all the fun stuff like that, or you've struggled with depression. Or, you know, suicide or stuff like that, suicidal thoughts, things like that. That's a whole other game we gotta play to be able to come to a relationship 100% with that. So I think, and you'll hear this time and time again, and it's much easier said than done. But when you have, so if you've ever been sexually assaulted, to then try to go into a relationship is very scary. And I think the main thing is discussing boundaries. And again, like I said, a lot easier said than done. And this is coming from someone who does not discuss boundaries well at all. Okay, I will let people walk all over me time and time and again. Because I don't like confrontation. I'm a people pleaser. So if I think that saying something is going to hurt someone's feelings or make them mad at me or make them not like me, I'm going to not say it. And I'm going to get myself hurt in the process. So this is something we need to work on together. But I also think there also lies that kind of healing halfway and then also being in a healthy relationship, letting you heal. So if you are someone that struggles with discussing boundaries and you find yourself in a relationship, maybe try to discuss with your partner that like, hey, I don't discuss boundaries well. I really struggle with this. Because then I think something really beautiful that can kind of be like a team effort is discussing with your partner that if they could ask questions and give you an open space and a safe space to discuss those is super helpful. Cause I know I was in a sucky relationship, but the thing that I did like about said relationship is with that whenever we were getting a little like even just the teensiest bit intimate, he would always ask before like moving on. So if you know if he wanted to kiss me, ask. If then wanted to burst from kissing to a little more touching, he would always ask. So there was always verbal and enthusiastic consent. And if I sounded a little like not so sure about something, he would be like, we don't have to. That's okay. So I think if you're dating someone that has a history of trauma, especially in that way, be conscious of asking them questions and urging those boundaries to get discussed, because I think it can be really helpful, and I think that can really help people grow, is people showing them that it's okay to talk about your boundaries, and it's okay to, you know, like if you are a partner of someone who has sexual assault trauma or any sort of that trauma at all, showing them that you're not going to get mad at them for having boundaries, and that whatever their boundary is, it's okay, you know, because when people have issues with boundaries like that, most likely it's because they've been shown consistently in the past that if you try to tell me your boundaries, I'm going to get pissed at you. I'm going to ignore them anyway, so you might as well shut up, you know, or you're going to be in actual danger if you try to discuss these or if you try to tell me no. So there is a fear of discussing, and that's why you don't. And obviously, yes, you have to work on that yourself, of course, but I also think it can be a game changer to be shown by someone that they care about, that they trust, to see that it is okay and that it is welcomed. So if you are a partner and you're a good person, try to open up safe spaces for boundary discussions and try to, you know, urge those, because and especially if, like, because I know all, you know, they're like, oh, are you okay with this? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I just say, mm-hmm. No. We want that enthusiastic yes. We want not even a little bit of anxiety. No. And I think, I mean, like, yeah, sometimes you're going to be nervous to do things. Okay, obviously. But enthusiastic consent. Thank you. And I would like to throw a reminder out there for everyone and anyone listening. Consent can be withdrawn at any time. I don't care if you got the okay at the beginning and now you're halfway through and the consent is withdrawn. The consent is withdrawn, so back the fuck up, okay? Consent can be taken away. A no is a no, regardless at what time the no was given. So there. So if you're someone who has been given a yes, but then they changed their mind and said no, and you kept going, literally, fuck you. You are the worst because, Anyway. Yeah. And I also think on the topic of boundaries, I think the earlier on you can discuss boundaries, the better. And I think maybe even for those of you who have listened to a while, I had a sex therapist on a while ago. Her name was Rachel, and she was an absolute queen. But one thing that she talked about that really helped was kind of like every few months, every kind of you decide the timeline, but every few months or so, kind of a boundary check-in on, hey, maybe you've grown more comfortable with something. Maybe there's something that you actually aren't super comfortable with anymore. And doing consistent check-ins with your partner or partners of what you are comfortable with and what makes you feel safe, because mine can always change, because everything's always changing and the world is changing, and sometimes you think you're comfortable with something and you're going and you're moving and it's great, and then for whatever reason the next month your silly little trauma kicks in and it's like, whoa, that's not okay. That's dangerous. Trust me, I've had triggers, and of mine, like, I've outgrown triggers. I've gotten new ones because for whatever reason, in the back of my mind, it's like, ding, ding, ding. Do you remember this? Well, you're gonna now. And so I think that's something that, because our brain, especially when it comes to trauma, acts like a file cabinet. And for really traumatic events, it tries to tuck them in the back as deep as they can go, so you don't remember it. And it's kind of a self-preservation system. So, you know, it doesn't destroy you as much. But sometimes, for whatever reason, that file cabinet likes to pop open and release one of those silly little files and be like, hey, you remember this? Well, you're gonna know. And sometimes something that's in the forefront of our brain and acting as a trigger, sometimes it just decides to go whoop, pop, right back into the filing cabinet, shut away. For whatever reason, the brain's kind of super silly like that. But that is my, that is what I've heard from therapists and from other people. And that is my own personal experience with stuff like that on my sexual assault and my own triggers for it. And I, it also depends on who you're with and the people, because I think boundaries are different for everyone too. Cause like, so for me, one of my big triggers, is my lower back getting touched, but it's my lower back getting touched by strangers and by people I don't know and kind of without warning. If I'm with people I do know and I feel completely comfortable, someone touches my lower back, not that big of a deal. It's for strangers though. I'm like, no. Absolutely not. I will go into a panic. But so it's boundaries can change and triggers can change. And it depends on who you're with and if you feel safe. Cause I think even if it was, I was with this, like people I wasn't super familiar with, but if I felt completely safe in an environment and someone touched my lower back, I don't think I'd have that much, like that big of a deal with it. But if I was in a space where my anxiety was pretty high and I didn't feel safe in the environment, then it's gonna, you know, be a lot easier to trigger that. So, you know, that's super important to recognize and know when to be on alert a little more, and everything. But yeah, so early on discussions of boundaries in the relationship, if you're getting into a relationship, if you're, you know, in the talking / like dating stage, and you kind of start to see it like, hey, this is going somewhere, maybe like have a serious, like sit down discussion, serious talk time, and be like, it's time to discuss some trauma and some boundaries and some triggers and everything. And that's really healthy. And that's not like a, and if they decide in that moment that they're like, whoa, who, you know, why is the fun left the station? What the heck is this? And they're not mature enough and kind enough with your heart to listen and respect that discussion, I can tell you, you run, okay? They do not have the emotional intelligence to, that you want to be with anyway. So no. We want emotionally intelligent people in 2023, okay? We're leaving the silly little immature gooses. We're leaving them behind. So discussions, and I think if you have reached a spot in your healing to where you can now discuss what has happened and your trauma and your abuse, I think it's really important to have a full-on discussion of that. Because I think the more that you can let them in on and the more they understand, I think that also helps in knowing, you know, that like, hey, that this is an absolute, like when I say no to this, like this is a stop. This is an absolutely 100% no. Like this is fight or flight. It's going to be in my red level warning. Okay. Because I think the more that they know, the more helpful it is for everyone involved, for you and for them. And I also think if you are aware of what your partner has been through, I think you're able to love them a lot more and kind of show them and give them the love and care that they might have been missing in past relationships, romantic or not. You know, sometimes it's friendships that have been abusive. Sometimes it's, you know, your family. Sometimes it's, you know, a stranger, you know, so in whatever relationships that there may be some trauma in, I think if you can explain that and have that really good deep discussion, and then you're going to know where you need to show up a little extra to love those broken pieces a little bit more. Because I think I wouldn't want anyone ever going into a relationship thinking I need to fix this person, because that's not your job. That is not your job at all to fix someone. And especially because I don't think we need to fix people, because the thing is your trauma, your abuse, your mental illness, your anything, your depression, your anxiety, those aren't things that are going to go away. These are things that you have for your entire life, but it's you learn how to deal with them and live with them, and you get tools in your tool bag to, you know, just do better and live with them and not have them weighing you down so much. And so I don't think you should ever try to fix someone, because I don't think anyone needs to be fixed. But I think there's always going to be parts that they may be less broken because you've healed yourself, but they're still going to be a little cracked. And I think when you get into relationships, you, as a partner, you should show up and just love those little cracked bits a little bit more, you know, because to show up in the ways that, you know, that person hasn't had anyone show up for them in the past. And it's just, and it can be little things, but I think once you have those really deep conversations and those serious conversations about, you know, life in general and what you've been through, to let someone in on that. And I think even just little discussions of like, hey, I haven't really ever gotten this in a relationship, but it's kind of important and it is something that I want. You'd be like, hey, absolutely, yeah. And it could literally just be like, I really thrive on reassurance. So if I could get like cute good morning and good night texts, that takes about 2 seconds. And my favorite thing to remind myself for 2023 is that if he wanted to, he would, or if she wanted to, she would. Little things like that take about 2 seconds. So someone can do that. But I think the biggest thing is communicate. If there is something you are feeling that you need, that's not like unreasonable. You're not like, I need a new sports car every Monday. Thanks, babe. Like, obviously, don't get crazy. Don't get greedy now. No, no, no. But if there are things that are going to, like, you know, make your heart feel a little better, and they're reasonable asks, and it's not draining the other person to do that, communicate what you want. Because most of the time, I think everyone's like, oh my gosh, well, I would love for them to do this, but they just like, they're just not that kind of person. They just won't do that. Most of the time, they just don't know. So if you just tell them, they're like, oh yeah, no, okay, for sure, I got you. Like, I think we get so in our heads about communicating with others and, you know, asking for like things that we want, because I think we've been taught in our lives to never, ever be selfish, when in reality, there are sometimes to be selfish, okay? When it comes to caring for yourself and making sure that your own needs are met, sometimes you have to be a little bit selfish. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think that we've gotten into this mindset of communicating that is incredibly selfish and greedy. So just sit in silence and suffer. But communicate your needs to your partner. If there is something that is not being fulfilled, communicate that. And then they also then will see that it is an open space for them to communicate their needs that they're not getting met as well. So I think it's a beautiful, silly little back and forth. And it's all mainly just stuff that I think we get in our heads about all the time. Because we love to do that as humans. We literally love getting in our heads and like psyching ourselves out over absolutely nothing. I can't tell you the amount of times I'm like sitting at night and I'm feeling so stressed, and I'm like, I try to pinpoint it. I'm like, okay, Emily, what are you stressed about? And then I pinpoint it and I'm like, are you shitting me? That is quite literally nothing that you have ever needed to be stressed about in your life. What are you doing? Silly little me. But moving on. So yeah, I think, you know, those early on discussions, healing yourself for the most part, and then letting your partner love the broken bits that much more. And then also, if you are someone dating someone that has a lot of trauma, be patient with them. Please learn and know when it's time to just sit and listen and give them opportunities to discuss boundaries, and be gentle, but also don't let them like ruin themselves or you. Because I think sometimes people take their own trauma and their own issues and they use it as an excuse to be shitty people. And as much as having all that sucks, it also doesn't give you an excuse to be shitty to people. okay? Because that's just being rude. And I understand sometimes there's going to be situations where it's an accident. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten overstimulated and I've accidentally snapped at people because my brain could not handle the amount of shit going on in it. So stuff like that is going to happen. But what I consistently do after that is I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to do that. I'm going to work on noting when I'm about to be overstimulated a lot better next time so then I can distance myself and I won't snap at anyone. So if someone is being shitty to you and they're using their own, you know, mental illness, they're using their depression, their anxiety, they're using their trauma, whatever, as an excuse to be like, I'm sorry I'm being so shitty, but it's just because, like, you know, it's the anxiety, it's the depression, it's the trauma. Like, that's just their excuse. And they're just being a shitty person, and that's not fair to you. So don't allow yourself to get walked all over in a relationship due to that. And don't allow them to walk all over themselves, because I think a big part of being in a relationship is holding each other accountable. And if you notice your partner, like, beating themselves up over things that they should not be and walking all over themselves and not, you know, and not being very nice to themselves on their healing journey, call them out on it. Be gentle, but call them out. I think that's really important, especially on things like when you're invalidating your own feelings or, you know, things like that. Call them out on it. And I think then also, you know, if your partner calls you out on that and then they end up doing the same thing, call them out on it. And again, be gentle. Don't be like, you fucking idiot. Do you just see what you did? Like, be like, hey, that's, why are we doing that? We know that's not what we need to do. We need to, you know, feel everything and feel our feelings and et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, because no matter how much you heal, again, like I said, it's all still going to be there for your whole life. And so sometimes we're going to have worse days and we're not going to necessarily remember all our tools and we're going to revert back to old habits. And it happens. Trust me, I can't tell you how many times I've been like, unnecessarily beating myself up and forgetting all my tools that I worked on and just making myself feel even worse when I'm having a mental breakdown, when I'm, you know, whatever, and I've completely forgotten all my healthy coping habits. It happens. We are humans and we make mistakes. So, you know, as a partner, be gentle, but hold them accountable. And you're also going to be held accountable by your partner, because I don't think that there's anyone going into relationships that doesn't have some sort of trauma, that doesn't have some sort of baggage. Everyone's had something happen, you know, regardless of how big or small it is, everyone has some sort of baggage. So never let anyone tell you that they don't, because they do. I think it's so silly. One of my favorite things that here's the thing I struggle with. If you haven't noticed, sometimes I vent my issues with my dad on this podcast. I don't know if he listens to it. I'm gonna assume he doesn't, but I'm not sure. So I feel like I need to be a little bit careful. Anyway, we're gonna vent. One of my favorite things that I was told from my dad was that women with baggage don't make good wives. My dad told me this fully knowing that I had been sexually assaulted starting at the age of 6. And this was like also fresh off of when I had like had to go to court to it and I was finally, or court for it, and I was finally getting into therapy and everything. So this man 100% knows that I have some baggage. And he's like, yeah, women with baggage don't make good wives. What? What? Oh, I was like, Mark, that was awful silly little thing to say. So he told me that, and that was stuck in my mind for years. And sometimes I still break down because of it. It usually happens when I'm drunk, as all the best breakdowns do, of like, I'm like, shit, I'm never ever going to be a good wife. I'm never going to be a good partner because I have too much shit. Because I'm too anxious, because I was touched when I was, you know, little, and that's my fault, of course. And so then, you know, no other person's gonna want to touch me after that. So like, it's stuff like that that'll sometimes try to sneak its way back into my brain because of that one little sentence from my dad. So A, be careful what you say to people, because you could think it was a completely insignificant sentence and it literally will alter the rest of their life. B, everyone has baggage, and don't let someone tell you that you're not going to make a good partner because you do have baggage. You just have to work through it. You have to be actively working through it, okay? Because obviously you don't want to dump all your baggage on your partner and be like, okay, here you go. Have fun. Do your best. Well, because they have their own baggage that they're having to carry. But what's the really cool thing about actual healthy relationships is you can be like, hey, I'm bringing this baggage to the relationship. And your partner can be like, hey, I'm bringing this baggage to the relationship. And you guys can be like, oh my gosh, let's carry it together. Let's help each other. And we can do it together. And it won't be as heavy if we do it together. Which is like so, isn't that a beautiful little image in your mind of just like helping each other? And I think it's so cute. Anyway, so yeah, don't let anyone tell you that you're not going to make a good partner because you have baggage. First of all, if anyone tries to tell you that, fuck them. They don't know shit. And you got this. You just gotta work to heal yourself. But regardless of if you're getting into a relationship or not, you have to work to heal yourself, because we should actively be working to grow our mindsets, our mental health, our physical health, our love for ourselves. So, you know, that's where stuff like practicing, you know, your own love language for yourself. I was looking at my, ooh, I just hit something with my chair. Oh no. One of my other most listened to episodes was the loving yourself and your own love language episode. And let me tell you, I loved that episode. And I frequently go back to listen to it to like remind myself of what I need to be doing to show myself some good love. Because love yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, in your own love language. Anyway, I got a little off topic there. Sorry, there's a FedEx truck going by and I got distracted. But yeah, like regardless of if you're getting into a relationship or not, just practice loving yourself every single day and healing yourself, because it's just going to be better in the long run for you to work on healing. And I think also, don't do it for anybody else. Heal and grow and love yourself for you and just for you. Because that's, at the end of the day, the one person who's going to show up every single day for you and the one like thing you can count on and that will be consistent in your life is you. Just you. And that's why I'm going to urge, like, be a little selfish, okay? Because you're literally the one consistent. Because one thing that I love is nothing in life is guaranteed except for death and taxes. So quite literally, it's just you, okay? And while you're going to, every day throughout your life, there's going to be new little characters in your story. And they might be, you know, recurring characters and stay for quite some time. You never know. Nothing is guaranteed, literally nothing. So love yourself, because you can count on yourself. You are there 100% of the time. No one else. So focus on yourself. Be a little selfish. Love yourself. Heal yourself. And fuck what anyone else says. And back onto the, you know, because we are talking about baggage and dating. If you're not ready, you're not ready. And that is absolutely okay. There is nothing wrong with that. Love yourself first. Love yourself first. Give yourself 100% of the love. And then when you feel ready and you feel good and a lovely little person comes along and be like, I would like to share your love. And you're like, you know what? I feel good about with my love with myself. Here, I'll share it. Let's hold it together. And I think that's beautiful. But if you're not ready, you're not ready. And that's okay. Because guess what? It's okay to be single. I have been for essentially my whole life. And I'm okay. Well, yeah. No, I'm good. And don't. Oh my God. In 2023, we're not getting into situationships, ladies and gentlemen. No, 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 no. No. No, as someone who has had multiple situationships, they leave you broken. They leave you sobbing on the bathroom floor at 3 a.m, eating chicken nuggets, and you don't need that kind of energy. Not this year. We are turning it around this year. No situationships. And I know we love to see them romanticized on TikTok because everyone's like, text with my situationships, and it's like really funny and cute. And you have like the beautiful like roast to flirt ratio. Find someone who will have that roast to flirt ratio in a relationship. Okay. You don't need a situationship to get that kind of energy. You just need to find the right person to give you that kind of energy if you want. But no situationships. I swear, if I find out that any of you listening are getting into situationships, I'm going to personally come and sit you down and be like, oh my gosh, what did we talk about? Like, I won't be mad, but I'll be disappointed. And we all know that's worse. Yeah, I said it. And I'll be disappointed. Anyway, no situationships. Yeah, but I think that's all I have to say. That's all my notes. I don't know if any of that made sense, if I'm being completely honest with each other, with everyone. But I'm sleepy and I need a Red Bull. So I'm going to go do that and end this episode and edit and get it up for you guys. But I love you so much. If you haven't been told that yet today, I love you with my whole heart, literally with everything, with my whole being, from my head to my toes. I love you because you're amazing and you're here and you're listening. So clearly you are working on yourself a little bit, or you're just so violently mentally unstable. And that is also okay, because me too. I love you guys so much. I'm so proud of you for whatever you've accomplished today. Whatever. If you just survived, if you woke up and survived another day, I'm so fucking proud of you. Because do you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard it is? It's so hard, you guys. So whatever you're doing, whatever you accomplish, I'm so proud of you. You're amazing. I love you so much. Please keep fighting and holding on and make it another day on this earth, because we all need you. You are so important. I love you so much. You're so beautiful. You're stunning. You're an amazing person. You have such a beautiful heart. I love you all. I hope you have a wonderful week. And I will talk to you in the next episode.